Today I'm continuing the second part of our series, Jesus Up Close and Personal. And today we will be looking at Jesus, the humble and exalted Jesus. We're going to go in a moment in our Bibles to a well-known passage in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 11.
This morning's reading is from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. It's from the English Standard Version. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the Lord bless his word.
As in his other letters, Paul's focus in his letter to the Philippians is the foundation of his appeal to the believers to live a transformed life. In addition to informing them of his situation in prison, he warns them not to adopt or indeed return to Judaism, but to stand firm in their faith in the gospel. Don't go back to where you have come from. In the text we have just read, we hear about Jesus, who is the exalted or the high-ranking, the glorious Jesus. It says in verse 9 that he is the name above all other names. And we are reminded when we read that of the Jesus who left the splendor and the majesty of heaven. We're reminded about the Jesus who sets aside his status and his power in order that he might identify with us. But more importantly, that we might identify with him. From exalted status to unspeakable depths, the Lord of the universe, Jesus came to be the Saviour of humanity. Christ came to be a servant. He came to give his life for us. In the Gospels, we never find Jesus pursuing his own interests. His whole life, his whole ministry was for others. His whole life and ministry was for us. This is the Jesus that we are being introduced to by Paul in his letter to the Philippians. The humble Jesus, the man for others, the man for us. Paul describes Jesus as being in the form of God, who, Paul goes on to say, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It's because Jesus is God that he does not need to hold his divinity too tightly. It's because Jesus is God, he doesn't have to hold on and grasp his divinity for fear that someone might take it away from him. An illustration perhaps, and not necessarily a good one, but I'm blessed enough to be able to drive a BMW, and from time to time I pull up at the traffic lights, and sometimes, you know, there'll be someone come alongside me, And you know what they're going to do? They're watching the lights and they're planning on racing me off the lights. They're looking across at me and I'm desperately trying not to look, and I'm trying to look front and center. And then you gaze across and sure enough, they're looking across. And then you look front and center again, and then the lights change and it goes red, red amber, green, and they're gone. Usually on the red amber, they're off. I have learned that I don't have to prove anything. I know what I'm sat in. I know the capability of the car, and so I don't have to prove anything. So I'm quite happy to let someone just speed off from the lights and for me to just amble slowly behind them. And likewise, in his humanity, Jesus, whilst on this earth, knew that he had nothing to prove. Why? Because he knows who he is. He knows where he came from. He knows the authority that he carries. He knows his position in creation as the creator. He knows he is the image of the invisible God. He knows he created all that exists. He knows that he is eternal, and in him all things hold together. He knows he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He knows that he will have the first place in all things. He knows that in him and through him, the whole of creation will be reconciled to God. Friends, Jesus knows, hallelujah, and he has nothing to prove, hallelujah. And because Paul knew the same thing, he was able to say of Jesus, in the form of God, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Those words, he did not count equality a thing to be grasped, also tells us that this status rightly belongs to Jesus. He had no reason to hold on to it because no one was going to take it away from him. In fact, no one can or could take it away from him. Although in natural life, many people use their position to advantage to achieve selfish ambition, Jesus, who owned the highest status, chose not to do so. Instead, he gave to others in order to save them despite the great cost to himself. It cost him his life. The love of God meant that Jesus would disassociate himself from his infinite splendor and take on himself our limitations. He took on himself our poverty, and he took on himself our suffering, in order that he might be the servant for the whole of humankind. As a result of his willing humiliation, his service, and his death, God the Father, it says in verse 9, highly exalted him. This exaltation, or this praise, or promotion of Jesus is not a reward. Understand it. This promotion, this exaltation of Jesus by God the Father is not a reward for what Jesus has done. Neither is it a divine law that says that if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. No. Instead, it is a reassigning to Jesus of that which already belonged to him. It was already his. It was simply that he had laid it down for a moment in time. Remember, he had already been exalted after completing his mission of salvation, because God the Father had already welcomed him back to the place of supremacy. Jesus was already seated at the right hand of the Father in that place of authority. He was already highly exalted. That phrase, highly exalted, is not saying that God assigned Jesus a status superior to one that he had previously enjoyed. Instead, what it's saying is that because Jesus is in the form of God, he therefore enjoys the most prestigious position, the position of God himself, because Jesus and God are one and the same. Jesus the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all of them hold the same position of honor. It expresses the fact that not only has Jesus been re-exalted, but to the highest position imaginable, but the position belongs to God alone. And that tells us that Jesus is not a copy of God. It tells us that Jesus himself is no other than God himself. Psalms 97 verse 9 says this: "For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." And now, friends, Jesus shares that position of exaltation, that position of authority and supremacy, that position that is occupied only by God. Jesus sits there himself, because he and the Father are one and the same. This is the name, the Lord, that identifies Jesus with the highest status possible. It's a status that is only enjoyed by God. The name that is above every other name is God's name. That's the name that's above every other name. If it weren't the case, then, and if it wasn't the case that Jesus himself holds the same position and is made of the same substance as God, then he would not be able to hold and carry the name that is above all other names, because the only name that is above all other names is the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. In Exodus 3, verses 13 to 15, it says this: "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is your name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Not so much today, as in days gone by, it's still prevalent in certain cultures today, but the name of an individual means something. In some cultures, they think very carefully about the name that they are going to give to their son or daughter, because they understand that the name infers or confers on them qualities or characters or characteristics of the name bearer. Perhaps that's something we ought to do in our culture, is perhaps we need to think and take a little bit more time and consider the name that we are giving to our children, because it's the name that they will bear the whole of their lives. Calling Jesus Lord, therefore, assumes that Jesus owns the properties associated with the name. Calling Jesus Lord assumes that he has the characteristics and the properties of that name. In other words, he can bear it out. If you're going to call someone Lord, if you're going to give them the highest status, then they need to be able to evidence that. And the evidence of the unmatched, incomparable authority that Jesus himself owns, that every created thing is obliged to honor him says this: being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee, let me say that again, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, Jesus is the humbled, exalted Jesus, but he is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to encourage you, as I did last week, that if you don't already know Jesus as your personal Lord and Saviour, then today, this moment, is a good time to do it. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And if you mean it this morning and you want to know how you too can know Jesus up close and personal, we'll pray this now. Jesus, I acknowledge that I have done wrong things against you, and that those things, my sin, has separated me from you. I don't fully understand, but believe you lived, died for my sins, and rose from the dead. Today, I receive your forgiveness and thank you for your gift of a new start and new life. I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. I choose to follow you and live for you. Come into my heart and change my life now and in my future. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, then God bless you. Why not put a comment in the comments box and let us know that at this moment you have made a decision for Jesus. The only reason we want to know is so that we can rejoice with you and celebrate with you at your decision today. May you continue to know the blessing and the nearness of God. May you this week rediscover Jesus, the humbled and exalted King. Have a great week.